Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Tamu Kenyama. She is the author of 1148 Lewis Street, A Long Journey. So Bert, how did you wind up down in Mississippi?
We were actually just visiting, because my husband and I lived here in Milwaukee, and we were going down, we went down to visit the some of the other brothers and sisters from the Republic of New Africa. My husband was actually the first vice president. There were four vice presidents, you know, for the various regions. And so... You know, from time to time, you know, he would get together with Brother Imari Obadeli, who was the president, and, you know, some of the other officials. So we went down to visit, just checking things out, and not planning to stay very long. But the second day that we were there, that morning is when we, you know, woke up to gunfire and tear gas.
So clearly, that's at this time in history, the FBI, the CIA, were without question covertly looking into organizations like yours and basically following everything that you guys did. Why would they attack you? I mean, what were they after you for?
First of all, they attacked because, like you say, they were scrutinizing all groups, any group that they felt uncomfortable with. Martin Luther King was as well,
right,
was being observed.
Were you charged with? Was the organization charged with sedition?
No, not at that time. It was after the shooting incident, because no one had done anything. We had not done anything, you know, broken any law, had not committed any crime, and a matter of fact, nobody in the house was wanted for anything. But their excuse that was used by the police and FBI was that they were trying to serve a warrant on a brother who at one time was participating with us, with the RNA. That brother lived in Milwaukee, but they knew his whereabouts. They knew when he went to Mississippi. They knew when he traveled there. They knew how long he'd been there, et cetera, et cetera. And as a matter of fact, the brother had, I don't know what went down, but he had been expelled from the center, from the government center, because you had to have a certain character to participate. And whatever he had done was, he was expelled. And so the FBI and police knew this because they had their private spy who had joined the Republic of New Africa here in Milwaukee while we were all here. And so he was telling them each and every move that
right.
was made. So they had plenty of time. That's what my point is, that they had plenty of time to arrest him and give him a warrant if they wanted to. Because, I mean, he was freely walking the streets. I don't know where he was living, but no longer living at that location. But that was the excuse that they gave for coming that morning.
So those, your organization, as well as others at that point in time, were armed. Is it safe to say that you guys were armed?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, we didn't go there looking for any trouble and inviting any trouble, but we did believe in
self-defense.
Self-defense, yes.
Okay, so now, this particular morning, did they knock on the door or they just began to attack you?
No, they didn't knock on the door, but they went on a bullhorn and told us to get out of the house. And they gave us a minute and 15 seconds, understanding that everybody was asleep, sound asleep. But we had a minute and 15 seconds to get up and try and throw some clothes on and get out of the house. And that didn't happen. We weren't able to get out in a minute and 15 seconds. So the tear gas canisters and bullets began to fly all, you know, just coming into the house, you know, and plaster falling, windows breaking. It was, you know, like a horror movie. And then there was an exchange of gunfire.
So this clearly was a federal assault. It wasn't local police from Mississippi.
It was both local and federal.
Okay. So they began this assault. How many people were in the house?
Seven people. There were two sisters and five brothers.
How was everybody armed?
No.
So
no, I don't even know how many weapons were in the house, but
right.
There was a brother, a young brother, who also had lived in Milwaukee at some point in his life. But anyway, he grabbed myself and the other sister and took us to safety and, you know, got us out of the way of the gunfire because they had pre-planned for if any attacks, because the, you know, were subject to be attacked by the Klan and other hate groups. So they were prepared for that. And he took us to a tunnel. And then after, I guess, a short time, the other brothers came down in the tunnel and then eventually saw that it was law enforcement officers. So, and at that point, we, you know.
Okay, so initially you didn't know who the assault was from.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got to go to a break. Can you hang on?
Okay. Sure.
All right. Connor, are we going to a break? We got a minute or what?
We got about a minute left.
Okay, we got about a minute left. So the reason I'm asking these questions is we've got to paint the picture of what was actually going on, this assault that happened, and the fact that they clearly were looking for somebody. Not making excuses for anything they did, but pointing out a picture or painting a picture of just what took place. Got to go to a break. My guest is Ms. Tamu Kenyama. She is the author of 1148 Lewis Street, A Long Journey. You're tuned in to The Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Until you use me up. Until you use me up.